show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Dear congregation, David, whilst engaged in sincere and earnest prayer, with a heart full of affection, expresses his faith and confidence he had in the Lord. Notice how this psalm begins. We notice the psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let not me be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. We note he lifts up his soul. His heart is fixed upon the Lord. His affections are now so flowing towards him. His desire is set upon him. And he draws near to God in earnest prayer. There he is then. He's lifting up his soul. He's drawing near. His heart's for the Lord. John Brown of Paddington writes, what serious work prayer is. What lifting up of the soul, what directing of eyes to God and fixing them on him must be in it. Here he is then. He's engaged in serious, sincere and earnest prayer. His heart is moved. And dear brethren, blessed are those times when we find our hearts moved towards the Lord. Sometimes we utter words. But oh, what a blessing when the heart is drawn towards the Lord and the mind focuses on him and we with the psalmist find ourselves lifting up our souls unto the Lord. Well, here as he truly prays, he expresses his faith and confidence he had in the Lord. Verse 2, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. And just notice the end of verse 5. On thee do I wait all the day. He's looking. He's waiting. He's waiting patiently with a great expectation in his heart. He makes this known to the Lord that he is quietly waiting upon him. Now, as we note in this psalm, particularly near the end of the psalm, from verse 15, he was in some difficulty. Now, there's a difference of opinion to the precise time, but we know he's in some difficulty. Just notice verse 15. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. He's afflicted. There's a net. Verse 17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. He's in great distress. He's in great trouble or in great straits. He's knowing trouble in his life. There are difficulties. There are those who believe there was much rebellion at this time. He also feels his sin, for which he prays for forgiveness. Notice verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. And then verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. He's in difficulty, there's those that oppose him, and he's feeling his sin, he's burdened by it. He sees the enormity of his sin, and he prays for remission. So then, he's in great trouble, he knows inward conviction, yet, as already mentioned, he earnestly looks to the Lord and expresses his faith and confidence in him. Now, as he looks up at this difficult time, placing his trust and confidence in the Lord, he asks for direction. And in doing so, he pleads for help as to go forward in the way which the Lord will show. Notice verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day long. He wants to be shown. He wants to be directed in this difficult time. And you notice the progression here. Show me thy ways. Show them to me and teach me. He wants to be shown, and then he wants to be taught. He wants help in this regard. And then leading. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Well, here's the background then. You'll notice in the heading of the notes there, David's confidence in prayer. His prayer for the remission of sins and for help in affliction. Well, let's come directly to these words tonight. And as we look at these words and as we are at the threshold of a new year, may the Lord speak to us through these words. First of all, looking to the Lord. Secondly, praying for direction. And then leading on from that, asking for help. We see in verse 4 and 5, he's asking the Lord for direction. In doing so, he asks for help. Notice the progression. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me. Show it to me. But then lead me. Help me. Walk me in that way. So praying for direction, secondly, and leading on, thirdly, asking for help. Well, let's commence by considering, first of all tonight, looking to the Lord. Verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And as we have seen already tonight, David's heart is fixed upon the Lord. Verse 1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. His affection is flowing towards the Lord. His desire is for him. He draws near to God. His heart is moved. Finds himself thinking of the Lord more and more. He's looking to the Lord. Show me thy ways, O Lord. You see, his eye of faith is fixed on the Lord and he's communing with the Lord. He's looking. In a moment we'll sing those words in Psalm 123, verse 1 and 2. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Here it's lifting up the soul. His heart is moved towards the Lord. There in Psalm 123 we see the psalmist focusing his eye of faith on the Lord. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Our eyes are waiting. We're placing our trust in the Lord, we're looking to him, and we're patiently waiting there in that psalm. Here's the psalmist then, he's looking to the Lord. Now remember the background, he's in some trouble. Just notice verse 16, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. The difficulties encompass him around about, and they lay heavy on his soul. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. He was moved by them, but now he's even more moved by them. They've enlarged. Notice verse 16, as he looks to the Lord, turn thee unto me. He's praying the Lord would look on him and have favour upon him. He's in distress then, and he looks to the Lord. And there's a lesson for us there, dear brethren. Let us look to the Lord in our difficulties. Yes, the troubles of his heart are enlarged. He's weighed down by them. And also he feels his own sin. Just notice that again in verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. He feels the trouble outside and he feels the burden on his heart because of it, but also because of his sin. Yet he's looking to the Lord. When troubles encompass you, when they lay heavy upon you, and when you feel guilt within, look up to the Lord. Remember Psalm 130. Lord, from the depths have I cried unto thee. He felt his sin in that psalm. Yet he's looking up out of the depths. You may feel you're in the depths. Trouble is all around you. You're sinking in the mire. Cry unto the Lord. Look to him. In all our troubles, let us look to the Lord. Satan does not want you to look to the Lord. He wants you just to keep focusing within. But you look to the Lord. Look to him. We may be wading through our troubles with heavy hearts. Brethren, stop and look to the Lord. You know, you may be on a walk and you're thinking about something. You're looking down. But then you look up and you admire the view. You take in things. Or you may be going on in your life and you're looking down, you're weighed down. Look up, take in things. Consider the grace, mercy and love of the Lord. Lift up your soul to the Lord. Earnestly pray. Look to him. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Show me thy ways, O Lord. You see, his eye is focused on the Lord. Turn your eye from within and look to the Lord. Lift up your soul. Draw near. Earnestly pray. Yes, it may be with tears. And you may be struggling still. But earnestly pray. Psalm 120 verse 1. In my distress I cried unto the Lord. And he heard me. I cried. It speaks so much, does it not? I cried. There's one earnest. They're looking to the Lord. They're beginning to wrestle with the Lord. Yes, they're struggling, but they're beginning to wrestle. I cried unto the Lord. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord. Look to him. Remember Jehoshaphat, when he was aware that he had been invaded by the Moabites and others, he was plunged into great fear. He proclaimed a fast and he gathered the people. And he offered prayer. We read in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 12 these words. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. Jehoshaphat, what could he do? Neither know we what to do. But one thing they did. And that was this. They focus their eye on the Lord. And that's what the psalmist is doing. He's looking to the Lord. He's lifting his soul. He's looking by faith to the Lord. Our eyes are upon thee. You just think of this here. He considers the affliction around him. Verse 17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. He feels his sin, as we note there in verse 11. Yet still, he looks to the Lord. Dear brethren, look to the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Notice the end of verse 5. On thee do I wait all the day. Oh, to be there, dear brethren. Now we have many a lawful thing to attend to. And it's not always easy, is it, to stop and look to the Lord if we're busy doing something, maybe in the workplace. Or for attending to the children and having to deal with something. But all to get there. All to know what it is. To wait on the Lord all the day. Just to keep stopping. On thee do I wait all the day. Oh, to focus our eye on the Lord. Often we can find ourselves focusing our eye on the things that are around us. And the sin within our heart, we can be troubled by it. Yes, we need to be convicted. But or we can stay too long focusing the eye there, rather than looking to the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Wait patiently. Be in expectation. Verse 5, on thee do I wait all the day. He feels the trouble all around him. He feels his sin, yet he's in expectation. He's in expectation of the Lord, his favour and his mercy. Wait patiently. And is that what we see in Psalm 40? Psalm 40 verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. The psalmist there was in great difficulty, in a horrible pit, yet he's looking. Dear brethren, we come to discover a wonderful truth. which many of our forefathers have recognised. There is Jesus in that song. And in his great sorrow, he was looking to the Lord. I waited patiently. So much there, isn't there? We haven't got time now. We mustn't go off at this point, but just consider Christ. He was in great trial. The sins of his people were laid upon him. He knew trouble all around. Where was the Lord? My God, where hast thou forsaken me? Yet he's waiting. Consider what Jesus was doing. I waited patiently for the Lord. Dear brethren, in your trials, wait patiently. Look to the Lord. Now let's just open this up a little further. He looks to one whom he knew in a special way. He looks to one whom he knew in a special way. Oh Lord, he knew him. He was acquainted with him. Verse 1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Verse 2, O my God, I trust in thee. The psalmist knew the Lord. And dear brethren, what a blessing to know the Lord. And that we can look to him. We know he's there. Now the psalmist here, if you recall, in prayer expresses his faith. And in prayer, though we be in straits, we can look to the Lord and express our faith we have in him. We know him. We're an acquaintance with him. He's given us saving knowledge. Jeremiah 24 verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people. And I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. A heart to know me. And dear brethren, the Lord has given you a heart to know him. By nature we would not know the Lord, but we know him. And so when we come to prayer, we're coming to one that we know. We're in a relationship. Leading on, secondly, he looks to one who is his God. He knows him, and God is his God. Verse 2, O my God, I trust in thee. We say it carefully, don't we? Because we know many use those words as words of blasphemy. But note these words, O my God. How empty do people say those words? But all they're so full of meaning. Oh my God. He belongs to us. Oh, the thought of that will help us in our trials. Oh my God. Dear brethren, the Lord is our covenant God who will never break his word. We belong to him. And he belongs to us in a special way. It's in a special way. Yes, in one sense, all can say our Father because God is the Creator. But in a special way, the Lord's people can say our Father which art in heaven. And in a special way, we can say, oh my God. He belongs to us. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 16. As God have said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. You see how he's given himself over to us. That's amazing, isn't it? He's given himself over to you and me. He's our God. He belongs to us. We have the Almighty One in our lives. He who belongs to us. We are not alone when we traverse through the valleys. When we climb the hills of difficulty, we are not alone. How amazing. God is with us. He belongs to us. We belong to him. And we will belong to him forever. He belongs to us. And he will belong to us forever. I will be their God. Oh, the thought of that, does it not calm the soul in affliction? Psalm 73 verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The psalmist, he feels the weakness within. You know what that's like. You feel that weakness within. You feel your heart is failing, and at times so is the body. A double thing there, isn't it? But God is the strength of my heart, and he belongs to us forever. He helps us in the present trial. In the future trial, we can rest because he will not depart. He will belong to us forever. He will help us. He will never leave you nor fail you. The psalmist is looking to the Lord, who belongs to him. Thirdly, the psalmist is looking to the God of salvation. Notice verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. The God of my salvation. The Hebrew word can be translated here as salvation or deliverance, safety, liberty. Takes in much, does it not? David takes comfort in this wonderful truth. He's surrounded by trouble. He feels guilt within. But he takes comfort that God is the God of his salvation. He's looking to him. He could look back how the Lord had saved him. Now, let's remember that, dear brethren. The Old Testament saints could look back in their lives to the way the Lord had saved them in effectual calling. Drew near to them and took hold of them. And David, he could look back. We see that in Psalm 71. We discover there that David as a youngster was found hoping in the Lord. He could look back. The Lord has saved him. He could look back and rejoice in that salvation which would be wrought through the Messiah. The God of my salvation. And so here he's taking comfort in what the Messiah would do when he would come here upon earth. So much here. He looks back then to when he was saved. He rejoices in God's salvation. But then he could look at other times when he had been delivered. You young ones here tonight, you know those times. He was delivered from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear. There was deliverance. As a shepherd, he came across the lion and the bear, and the Lord delivered him. He also was delivered from Goliath and the other enemies that followed. He's considering the God of his salvation. In the present distress, he's looking to the God of his salvation. He looks back. He's been saved. He rejoices in what Messiah would do and the wonderful plan of redemption. He rejoices that he's been delivered from the lion, the bear, and from Goliath and others. And he's trusting in the Lord in the present situation and in the future. Remember we said earlier, his expectation is in the Lord. His hope, his confidence has been placed in the Lord. On thee do I wait all the day. See, he's considering the present, but also the future. And he's trusting in the God of his salvation. Dear brethren, look to God. Focus your eye on the God of your salvation. So much here. Consider how you've been saved. Effectually called, delivered from the bondage of sin, delivered from the tyranny of Satan. You were given life. Consider what has been done for you through Christ. Consider what Christ did here upon earth and the wonderful accomplishment of redemption. He is the God of your salvation. Remember what the psalmist said, this is all my salvation. And then consider what he's done for you in your life through many trials the Lord has brought you through. He's giving you grace in the present trial. He's the God of your salvation. When you consider your troubles that are around you, look to the God of your salvation. And remember that God sees you out the other side of your trials. But then there's another thought here. The psalmist is considering the God of his salvation, and he knows there is forgiveness with the Lord. He feels his sin that it is so great, verse 11, but he's looking to the God of his salvation. And dear brethren, when you feel your sin, look to the God of your salvation. And remember, because of what Christ has done, there is not only has there been that judicial forgiveness, but there is also that fatherly forgiveness. When you feel convicted of your sin, when you begin to cry out, remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember the God of salvation, and that there is fatherly forgiveness with him. Focus on the God of your salvation and look to him. Look to him, dear brethren. Wait upon him. Well, we must draw to a close. Secondly, praying for direction. Praying for direction. Here's the psalmist. He's looking to the Lord. He's looking to the Lord, the God of his salvation, the one that belongs to him, the one who will help him. And he's praying for direction. And dear brethren, is it not a great help to us to consider the God of our salvation as we pray for direction? Consider a particular context. David's in trial here. There's troubles around him. There are those that rebelled against him. He's looking to the God of his salvation. And he's asking for direction at this time, that he might be led through. Well, here he is then praying for direction. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day long. Show me thy ways. Make it known to me. Make known thy ways. Cause me to view it and to know it. Show me thy ways, Lord. Help me to consider it, but really know it in my heart. You know, it's one thing to hear, but oh, one thing to know it within. Blessed are they that know the joyful sound. Psalm 89, verse 15. That know it. Many hear it. Many are shown it in that way of hearing it, but oh, to really know it. And when we think of these words here, show me thy ways, it's not only to view it, but to know it. It's deeper than just, as it were, seeing it. It's to really know it in the heart. Cause me to view it and know it. Show me thy ways. So reveal it to me that I know it in my heart. The way of thy providence, that I might rest in thee. Show me the way of thy grace and mercy, that I might be comforted in view of my iniquity. Show me the way of thy word, the way of thy commandments, that I might run that way. Show me, Lord, that I might know that which is right, and I might please thee. Show me thy ways. Well, let's just open this up briefly. Firstly, the way of providence. In difficult times, do not we desire to be found resting in God and his holy and wise providence? That's what we desire to be found doing, isn't it? Show me thy way of providence. Cause me to think about it. Cause me, like that servant, to be able to consider and say, I being in the way, there's troubles around me. There's difficulties. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. I'm in great distress. But cause me to know the way of thy providence. Help me to focus mine eye on thy providence. And that's what we see in Psalm 57, verse 1 and 2. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. There he is. He's looking to the Lord. He's resting in the Lord. And then he cries this. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He's facing difficulty. There's calamities around him. He looks up. He looks to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit so working in his heart, he's reminded of the providence of God. He's resting in that way of providence. And what a wonderful thing to rest in the way of God's providence in the trials of life. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. Show me thy way of providence. When I'm troubled, when I'm perplexed, what's happening? Show me thy way of providence. As individuals we cry, and then also as a church here we cry, show me thy way of providence. Firstly then, the way of providence. Secondly, the way of grace and mercy. the way of grace and mercy. Notice verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Remember, he feels his sin. He feels guilt within. Show me thy ways. Show me, O Lord, the way of thy favour and thy mercy. It's all here, isn't it? Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies. Then he prays for the remission of his sins. Remember not the sins of my youth. The way of grace and mercy. Cause me to be aware of it. So surround my soul that my soul is calmed and my heart is strengthened. And when we feel guilty about our sin, cry out to the Lord for forgiveness and pray, show me thy way of grace. Show me thy fatherly mercy, that my soul might rest. Thirdly, the way of God's word, the way of God's commandments, the path of duty, the ways of worship, the way of God's word. Show me thy ways. We have this book before us. We have the commandments. We know the commandments. But do not we pray, show me thy way. Show it to me, Lord. Lord, I can read thy word. I've been learning the commandments from a very young age. But show it to me again. Psalm 119, verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Show me thy ways. Cause me to view it, but also to know it. The Bible is like a compass, isn't it? And it shows us the way, and the Lord shows us the way through his word. I expect many of us had a compass when we were young. You may still have one. I remember I was quite young when I got my first proper compass. Not a child's toy, but a proper compass, you know. Glass, piece of plastic, and a dial in the middle. And I was so pleased. And I got a map book, an audience survey map book of the New Forest. And I went out into the forest, and I had a go. I didn't do very well, but I had a go lining up the compass with the map as well. I was hoping to know where I was going. Well, think of the compass. If you use it properly, it points you in the right direction. God's word always points you in the right direction. Show me thy ways. We don't rest on our own understanding. We happily look to the Lord for everything. Show me thy ways. Because we only want to be doing what God would have us be doing. We only want to be going down the path that the Lord has shown. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Show me what I am to be doing. For the psalmist here is in trouble. He desires the Lord to direct him in his trouble. Direct me, Lord. Psalm 143, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. You know, I never forget one of the first times I heard those words sung in Scotland. There was a gathering of 40 ministers and elders, and I was there. At Larbert, and this psalm was chosen. The tune was Heber, a different tune to what we're used to in the South, but it was a lovely tune. And I remember just looking around at these ministers and these elders, just looking up to heaven. And some of them were so moved, you could not but be moved in singing these words. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. You see how that psalm fits into this psalm. And no wonder, because it's God's word, isn't it? Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul to thee. Here's the psalmist there, so earnest before the Lord. He's so looking to the Lord. Cause me to know it. Show me thy ways. And dear brethren, do not we desire in everything to be directed by the Lord? cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. And brethren, be in expectation when you truly look to the Lord and you study his word, that he will show you the way. He will also show you in providence. We're leading on as we now draw to a close. Thirdly, asking for help. Asking for help. Verse 4 and verse 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. He's praying for direction, as we've already seen tonight. He's also praying really for help, isn't he? Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. There's progression here. Lead me in thy truth. It's not just repetition. Notice progression here. Show me. He's praying for direction and he wants help to go in that pathway which the Lord shows to him. Teach me. And notice verse 5. Lead me. Now literally, walk me. Guide me. There's so much there. I do not want to take one step without thee. I am not confident to take one step without thee. I am so weak that I cannot take one step without thee. Lead me, walk me, guide me. You think of someone who comes alongside someone who's frail, takes hold of their arm, and they walk them, they guide them. Oh, for the Lord to draw near and to walk us, to guide us, oh, to be so close to the Lord, oh, to know that so close dealings with our soul that he would walk us. We want to be shown the way, but then we're praying for help. Lord, walk me down that way. I stumble at times. Walk me, hold me, lead me, walk me, guide me. He's praying for assistance here. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. He wants to be taught as he's being helped down the way which he has been shown. And dear brethren, we need teaching over and over again. We're shown the way. We ask for that help that the Lord might walk us that way. And we ask for further teaching. Keep reminding me, Lord, of the way I'm to go. Keep reminding me of what I am to do when I walk that way. Keep teaching me. He's praying for help. At Horticulture College down in Kent, we were shown, our students, how to do some grafting, where we would take a piece of stem, including a bud, and cut it out and graft it onto the stem of another. And there was quite an art to it. It wasn't a simple thing, it was quite an art, and you had to cut the piece of stem correctly with the bud that it might just fit so on the other piece of stem. And it wasn't easy. Especially in the winter time. I remember one winter we were doing this and we were in the glass houses, the heaters were on, but it was freezing. I remember the tutor, he had these gloves on, fingerless mittens, because he was so cold and we were trying to graft. Our fingers were so numb. We had to be careful of the knives, and he warned us. It wasn't easy. Well, he showed us what to do and we made an attempt. And this is what he then did. He went round us all and he helped us. He showed us what we're to do. It was put up on a screen. He told us what to do. We started, then he helped us. He came round. The Lord shows us, but in such condescension, he comes to us to help us. I remember as a child being shown how to ride a bicycle by my father. He thought it was quite easy to get on the bike. Off you go. So I tried to. I balanced myself. I started going. And then I was aware of my father's hand on the saddle. He told me what to do, but then he came and helped me. The Lord shows us, but he's such a father to us. He comes and helps us. We don't go alone down the path he shows to us. Listen to Spurgeon. The second petition, teach me thy paths, appears to mean more than the first, and may be illustrated by the case of a little child who should say to his father, Father, first tell me which is the way, and then teach my little trembling feet to walk in it. The little child, having begun to walk, asked to be still led onward by its parents' helping hand, and to be further instructed in the alphabet of truth. We ask for direction, and we ask for help to go down the pathway the Lord has shown. The Lord shows us the way, but we need help. Help to rest in the way of his providence. Help to rest in his way of grace and mercy. Help to go in the way of his commandments. We need the help of the Lord. Oh, let us go day by day and ask the Lord for help. Remember again Jehoshaphat. He was in fear. He proclaimed a fast because of the Moabites and others who had invaded. The people gathered and were told this in verse 4, this time of 2 Chronicles 20. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. They came to ask help of the Lord. God was over all, but they gathered together to ask help of the Lord. There's a mandate for churches coming together to pray for revival and reformation. To ask God, we're in need. We know what we need. We're to ask help. But as we think of being shown the way, we then ask help of God. Show us the way. Dear members here, we ask the Lord would direct us, and collectively we cry to the Lord for help. Ask him for help as you live your life. Ask him for help as you go down the pathway he has shown to you. And keep asking for help. He will help you because he's the God of your salvation. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. He's the God of your salvation. Consider what he has done for you. Consider what he will do for you. You can be encouraged to go and ask him for help then. The God of your salvation will help you. So let's, like those men of Judah of old, go and ask the Lord for help. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. He's troubled by his afflictions. He feels the burden of his sin, but he's looking up. And he's waiting patiently upon the Lord. Dear brethren, that's where we want to be, isn't it? Looking up, waiting patiently on the Lord, and being shown the way. Oh, for a close walk with the Lord. Look to him. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. You may be struggling. You may feel your frailty. But oh, let your heart be inclined towards the Lord. Amen. Let us pray.